Om Shanti, good morning. Welcome. That's great. Thank you for coming back. I know some have gone, some have left for early flights, and some have gone north to the peak of the mountain. And they can't resist the temptation, the magnetic pull of Madhuban. So maybe if we start with a few moments of silence together, it's always a good way to check in, as they say, to check in with each other, to check in with ourselves. Use your powerful vibrations to invoke those who still have not yet arrived. Good. So yesterday we went very deeply into consciousness, into the self, to explore our old and dear friend, the ego. Do you remember the definition of the ego? Definition? The simple one-word definition? A mistake. The one-word definition? Just a mistake. I mistake myself for something that I'm not. And that takes place where? In the mind. I bring up the mind, I put an image on the mind, or an image arrives in the mind, and then I lose myself in the image. And that's the moment of attachment. Attachment happens within our consciousness, not outside, not when I grasp something, but when I lose myself, my sense of self, in an idea, a belief, a concept, a memory in my mind. Or it could be something in the world comes through my eyes and I put it up on the screen of my mind. And so I get lost in an image of the world. And that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be entertained. It's okay, brother. We don't need the camera today. And we don't need this. It's okay. Thank you. No camera, no equipment. It's fine. But thank you very much for coming. Much appreciated. Thanks. It's great. So when you're being entertained, watching a movie or watching television or watching the world out there, you bring the world in to your consciousness and put it up on the screen of your mind. And we are entertained. But there's moments in the entertainment, enter, you attain something from what enters, entertainment. You take it in and it shapes you. You allow it to shape you. And so I start laughing if it's a comedy. I start crying if it's a... or I get excited if it's dramatic. And so it's shaping my consciousness. And so I'm getting attached. And that's why Baba was saying in this morning about 3,500 times. What was his main theme this morning? Disinterest. Because the moment you become interested in something, you're on your way to becoming attached. Oh, that's really interesting. Wow. Really? And you can almost see myself getting attached to the idea. Did they really say that? And wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that fantastic? Yeah. And so when I'm interested in anything in the world, then Baba's basically saying you're on the point of becoming attached to it, and it's shaping you. It's a little bit like when someone scratches that car, and I am the car. My consciousness is taking the shape. I'm being shaped by an image of the car. And that's unnatural for human consciousness. Unnatural. So why are we here sometimes? we acknowledge that we're here to transform. We're in the process of transformation. And there's three meanings to transformation. Trans means to transcend. Form means rising above the form that I am giving to myself. And ation means action. The action of rising above, transcending the form. And in one word, in our language, detachment. So I come away from the image of the car, I rise above it, and I restore my true image, which is no image. And so I rise out of what's on my mind, transcend, and I return to my pure, clean state of radiant being. It's a bit like if you imagine a little box, here comes the soul, this radiant soul, which is giving its energy in 360 degrees, an unlimited source of light. But then you put that soul in a box, and imagine the box could confine that radiant point. And of course, the light wouldn't get further than the box. And so, the form of the soul in that moment would be the inner shape of the box. So now, same, what's on my mind? I'm taking the form of what's on my mind. So in every conversation, you hear people, you hear yourself, "Oh, really? Oh, that was interesting. I was so impressed by them, by that." Never compete with a camera. It's like never act with pets. Because everyone watches you. You're all watching the camera now. You'll be finished in a minute. Smile for the camera. Look at the camera. Smile. Smile for the camera. You don't want to be attached. I'm just testing you, you see. You've worked out that it's a test. It's great. So whenever I'm impressed by something, impressed, something from outside is pressing. I'm allowing it to leave an impression, pressing, impression in my consciousness. That takes place in the mind. And the reason I'm saying I am impressed is a way of saying something has pressed itself into me and I'm taking the shape of that. I am being shaped by what I'm impressed by. That's why when you're spiritually intelligent, you will not be impressed by anything or anyone, anytime. You might go, "Yeah, that was good, that's very good, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that was great, wasn't that fun?" But inside, you're not carrying away an impression, and we go, "Oh, it's fantastic, I'd love to see that again, oh, that made me feel so good." Yeah, that comes to an end. But you can't make it end, can't force it to end. One of the questions yesterday is, how do I recognize the ego and be saved from the ego? It's a little bit like, how do I transform? How do I change? And it's not a technique, it's not a method, it's not a formula. For me, in my own experience, it happens very gradually and only through the continual practice of the four practices. The four practices we all practice here: meditation, contemplation, application, and contribution. In BK language, yoga, study, dharma, seva. So meditation, contemplation, application, contribution. So when I build those four practices into my daily life, not yearly or monthly or even weekly life, to my daily life, very gradually I become more aware, losing myself, I'm reacting, I'm feeling upset, I become more aware very naturally what's going on inside. And then I study it, it becomes the object of study. What was I feeling and why did I get so emotional and where did it come from and what was the cause? So I'm studying my own experience. And when you become aware and you study what you're aware of, you naturally meet a similar situation differently, with a different application. You apply what's been realized from the meditation and the contemplation. Meditation, contemplation generates realization, and when that's applied, then the process of change, transformation takes place. So there's no quick way, there's no right way, there's no one way. Everyone has to find their own way in that sense. Maybe just a few other little questions from yesterday. Can the ego be removed totally? What do you think? Baba says be egoless, viceless, and incorporeal. Some say, well, you have to be incorporeal before you can be egoless and viceless, because it's not possible down here. But then, have you had moments when you have been egoless? Have you had moments? Moments? Like 10 seconds? 12 seconds? Or a minute? And if you've had moments, can those moments be expanded? Yeah, I think so, and certainly it's my experience. By the way, I don't sit here saying I'm egoless. I'm not egoless. I'm still doing my work. You know, I still have buttons. You know what I mean by when someone presses your buttons? And I'm sure by the end of these 2 days, one of you will press my buttons. And you'll discover I'm still meeting what's in the way, in my own way. How do you not hurt others? Someone asked yesterday, my ego, I still have ego, and when my ego takes over, it hurts those around me. How do I not do that? Well, the obvious answer is use those situations to study, to contemplate. Now, the energy I'm giving to others, how am I feeling? I'm not feeling very good myself. And whenever you feel not very good, whenever you suffer in any way, the cause is always the ego. The cause of all suffering, all anger, all fear, all upsetness, all sadness, is always the ego. So the more you meditate, the more you become aware of the moments of your own suffering. And that's the signal to ask why. Why am I making myself suffer? And then giving my suffering to others. And that's what everyone in the world is doing today. So you know the basic principle. You're here now, and the fundamental foundation of, if you like, waking up, the primary realization is I am totally responsible for what I think. I won't forget you, for what I think and feel. Totally, 100% responsible for what I think and feel. In other words, no one else is ever to blame, is ever responsible for my thoughts and feelings. Now, once you realize that, once I get that, took me a long time to deeply realize that, then that means that you're not responsible for other people's thoughts, feelings, reactions. And that's tremendously freeing. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great news? Wow. Because we spend most of our life going, are you okay? Are you feeling all right? Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Oh, are you okay? Do you know those moments? And of course, actually, I'm not responsible for their responses, their reactions. Now, I have to be a little careful there. I can't go around everybody going, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, you don't like that? Well, that's your problem. Yeah, that's called arrogance. Yeah, and if I have that attitude, that arrogance, then I won't have many friends after a while. And so it's about being aware that I'm not responsible for your reaction, but I recognize your suffering. In other words, if you throw negative energy, get upset with me, first I have to learn not to take it personally, because if I take it personally, that's my ego. So I have to be strong enough, stable inside, free enough, detached enough inside, not to take your insult, your negative energy personally. Now, once I've done that, then I also understand actually that the energy you're giving me is coming from your ego, your suffering. Get that? And what's the human response to someone who's suffering? Once you recognize someone who's suffering, you don't go, ah, ha, ha, you're suffering. I'm okay, but you're suffering. Or we don't go, you shouldn't be suffering. You should be like this. Not, we don't do that either, do we? What's the human response? It's compassion. It's compassion. It's empathy and compassion. But I can only be empathic and compassionate when I'm in my own power. When I'm not disturbed in any way, in other words, when I'm not attached to anything, image, idea in my mind. Yeah. And so that's the application. Every day I get a hundred opportunities to practice, to apply that. And every day I succeed a little, I fail a little. Very quickly. They happen very quickly in our interactions. So, yesterday I mentioned that if I'm not the image, I'm not the idea, if I'm not a concept, I'm not even the concept of the soul. The soul is a concept. And so if I'm none of those things, who am I? And I suggested, well, actually, the way I say it to me is, I'm nothing. I have no identity. The soul has no identity. Yeah. Now, some people heard that in such a way that, wow, does that mean I'm nothing? Isn't that kind of putting myself down? I'm nothing. When I say nothing, I mean no thing. Not that you're nothing, in other words, nothing, but no thing. Do you see the difference? Sorry, the slogan, be a hero, be a zero. Well, you can't be a hero until you've been through zero. So you're right. So zero is a good way to say it. Zero means nothing. No thing. And paradoxically, in the spiritual dimension, when you realize yourself to be no thing, you become aware you are everything. When you realize you are no thing, you become aware of your own completeness. Because when you identify with anything, idea, image, concept, it's a fragment. You fragment yourself. And you'll notice each day you jump around different fragments, different identities, different images, different concepts. I'm arguing for a belief one minute. I'm attached to the way my room is laid out the next minute. I'm reacting to someone the next minute. And each of those moments, I'm throwing up a different image and I'm attaching and another image and attaching. And all these fragments make me feel very fragmented. And that's why there's no contentment. There's no, it's easy, this is easy. Like I'm jumping around. And then one day I go, wait a minute, hold on a second, what's the soul? It's just an idea. The point of light is an image and a picture. It's not me. It's not me. I am just the I that says I am. That's all. I'm the I that says I am. Anything after I am is not me. Now that doesn't mean I go through passport control at the airport and go, it's not really me, no. So you can have it, but it's not really me. I play the game. We play the game. Yeah, and I dance the dance. I speak the language that the world out there speaks. The international language of labels. It's just labels. Where you're from, what you do, who you look like, what you are. All of these are just labels. But I've learned to not identify with the label in my mind. Coming out, coming away, coming away, coming away. Back to the center, back to the center, back to the center. Being no one, being no one, being no one, being no one. Does that make sense? Do you get it? And yesterday I used to think I had a lot of things with me. I have a lot of stuff. I have a nice house, a nice car, a nice cunt, nice friend. I have all of those things. But today I realize I have nothing. I have nothing. So I'm no one. I'm no one. I have no thing. I have nothing. And what's the other big illusion? That we're going somewhere. Yeah, we're going. We're off somewhere. Going on a trip now. Isn't that good? This is good news. Going to Madhavan. We're going home now. We're going on holiday now. We're off. We're going. But the reality is, I'm going nowhere. Ever. I don't go anywhere ever. There's a lovely title to a book, actually, which is The Essence. And it says, wherever you go, there you are. Yeah? Wherever you go, there you are. Because in the spiritual dimension of consciousness, there's no here and there. There is only here. There's only here, and there's no opposite to here. I'm always here. I'm always present. I'm always here. That's great timing. It's a meditation in itself, actually. Just to be here. And then to notice the urge, the sanskar, to try to be absent, to go somewhere. So many years ago, we did this course in Madhavan, about 10 years ago now, and someone at this point asked the question, Mike, do we have to go through all of this attachment, detachment, understand the ego, and can I just remember Baba? Can I just go Baba, 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 Baba? Isn't that not enough? The way we do this in 3 days, it seems like a quite intense, and I have to do a lot of thinking and being aware and so on. But for me personally, it's my half of reconnecting with God. In as much that whenever I get attached to anything, I close my consciousness around the object of attachment. Like around what's on my mind. I'm closed in my mind. And that's why God can't get through with his vibration, his light. It's a bit like the flower waking up in the morning and it gets up and it says, no, I'm not opening today, I'm staying closed. No, I'm not turning to the sun, I'm going to stay closed like this. And if the flower stays closed, then the sunlight, the warmth, and the light cannot reach the flower. And the flower is dependent on the warmth and the light to do what? The flower is dependent to receive the warmth and the light of the sun to do what? What's the red thread of our time? To create. To create itself. To be created and to create itself. It needs that energy, that light. But if it stays closed, it cannot receive. And this is why many of us come sometimes for years, and say, I don't feel Baba, I don't sense Baba's in my life, I don't feel as if I'm connected to God. And essentially, for me, it took me many years to realize, it's just that I'm closed. I haven't yet opened. I haven't yet let go. And most of us don't let go because we're not aware of what we're attached to, of the many things. We open, we close, we open, we close, we open, we close. Sometimes I stay closed for a long time. So there's just one question here, and then we'll move on to the subject. Are you forgotten? If you're forgotten, then it's okay. Yes. You hurt my ego. They say to you that you hurt my ego. Okay. I have never had anyone say to me that I have hurt their ego. Okay, they may say you've hurt my feelings, but not the ego. Because most people are really not aware of what the ego is, and most people believe the ego is okay. And so what they say is, you hurt me, or you hurt my feelings. In other words, they're saying, you're responsible for what I feel. And so what you did is, you didn't hurt them. They don't know this, but you touch something that they're attached to. That's all. You get that now, don't you? So if you feel hurt if I say something, it's not me that's hurting you, it's just I'm touching something that you're attached to in your mind. Might be an object outside, or it might be a belief you're so attached to, and I say, I don't agree. And you go, what do you mean you don't agree? And so you're taking it personally. Do you see it? Yeah. How do you avoid the ego of little children, or the little children learning the ego? What do you mean, how do you avoid it? I don't understand. How do you help children not grow up with ego? Is that the question? Okay. So the only way to help children, for me personally, is not to tell them, but to show them. Yeah, the children, they don't read books, they don't go to seminars, you know, they don't go on retreats. They learn by watching and by feeling, by watching and by feeling. And so their learning is a more subtle, in a sense, than ours, because they don't have the baggage that we have in that sense. So it's just by showing them, by demonstrating. And then if the child is teenager, then you can have a conversation. And, you know, when they react, you can sit quietly and use your wisdom to engage. You know, was there a reason you reacted? How did you feel? Why did you make yourself feel like that? And the child goes, me? Make myself feel? Did I make myself feel? Oh, maybe I did. Yeah, maybe I did. So this is, again, an aspect of creativity. In the moment, depending on the child, depending on what's happening, depending on what you sense, you create the conversation, you create the right questions, you create the engagement that you sense will help them to realize for themselves. But parents, they don't get that. Parents are in a hurry, and parents have the very deep belief that we all grow up with, actually, for most parents, is that they can control the child, that the child should do what I want. And then the child learns to believe, I can control people too. And so we all grow up with this, just about all of us, this belief in our consciousness that the world should dance to my tune. The world should make me happy. And that's actually why we're all here. Because it's not true. The truth is, I can't control anyone, and no one's responsible for my happiness. And gradually we're getting rid of our attachment to those beliefs, which are very deep, very deep. It's good. So now you're in the territory, now you're in the territory. I have a little exercise for you. As we said yesterday, today is about untangling these two ideas, these two experiences called emotions and feelings. You know, we've gone very deep to the cause, but now let's come up a little bit and ask ourselves, what is emotion and what is feeling? What is emotion and what is feeling? Could I ask you just to take a few moments and to reflect, to contemplate, and if you have to define emotion, what would be your definition? If you have to define feeling, what would be your definition? So just have a little scribble on your, just best to draw on your own experience. What, when you were emotional, how would you describe? And when you're feeling something, how would you describe that? Just for a few moments. And it's good to write, to scribble, because when you write, things lead, draws from inside, insights and associations. It's good. And then with the person next to you, just compare notes and see if you have anything in common. See if you share the same idea or same perception, perspective on emotions and feelings. And it's good. When you talk about it, it comes alive. Good, okay, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hands up those who felt that the person they were talking to was becoming a little emotional. Okay, no, don't, better not actually. So it's quite challenging, isn't it, to untangle the two, because they're so close together. Anyone? Emotion? Anyone? Definition? Emotion is? Motion of feeling. So feeling is by the senses. I feel cold, I feel warm. So just a sensual thing. Just senses, yeah, okay. An emotion, emotional. That's right, you become emotional about something outside. Yeah, it's good, yeah. Feeling is with the senses. Emotion is with the heart and the mind and the intellect. Okay. It's good. Anyone else? Emotion. And emotion is a disturbing, uncontrolled feeling. And the feeling is? The feeling is just an experience. That's all. Okay. Feeling is an experience. Yes. Oh, you'll have to come in and do it. Okay, anyone else? Yes. So emotion is expressed, it's seen on the face. It's like a physically visible thing. Whereas a feeling is deep inside, which is not visible, invisible. Fantastic. So visible and invisible. Yes. To shout. The emotion is the body. Within the body. Feeling is just in the mind. So emotion's in the body, you can see it. Feeling is in the mind, which is invisible, can't see it. Right at the back, shout. Feeling is energy that's focused. So emotion's an unsettled feeling. Unsettled entity. Fantastic. Oh, energy, sorry. Entity, energy, sometimes they're the same. Yes. Feeling is? Okay, so you feel your emotions. So then you first have the emotions, then you have the feeling of the emotion. Okay, so they're together. Yes? Yes? Energy in motion, emotion, energy in motion. Okay, and feeling? Okay, the energy goes and you're drained. And what's the feeling? So feeling is a positive energy. So it makes you cheerful. So feelings make you cheerful, emotions make you uncheerful. Fantastic. It's great. You've had yours? Yes. Sorry, I thought you put your hand up. You're just scratching your head. Yeah. Anyone else? Emotion. So the rest of you were just talking about the weather. Yes? A little bit louder. Emotion can be anger. sadness, feeling. It's what? Is in the consciousness of the heart. You're going down here. Consciousness is down here. Have you done Raj Yoga yet? Consciousness is here. It's good. Yes. Feeling is pain or pleasure, whereas emotion, I don't know. Fantastic. Thanks for being so honest. I think most people are going, actually, I don't know. It's very challenging, this, yeah. Feeling is like a parent, and emotion is the child. Okay, so the feeling is the outcome, is the emotion. So the feeling generates the emotion. Yes. Feeling is an original quality, whereas an emotion, emotion is an affair. Oh, it's a fear. Okay. Fantastic. Yeah, okay, one more. Have to shout. Feeling is internal. Good or bad. So emotion is, oh, the expression of that feeling. Fantastic. Wow. 10 different answers. And we're all doing the same thing. Oh yeah, okay, one more, yeah. Are you translating for... I don't speak Spanish today. Sorry. Oh, it's Portuguese. See, I don't know, it's just Portuguese. Emotion is a physical reaction produced by a thought. And feeling is as a fragrance. Is the fragrance of the thought. Wow, we have a poet in the room too. Fantastic. You know they're right. My response, you know that it's everybody's right. Because that's where we all are. There's no right and wrong here. So as I share one definition, this is how I'm defining it, how I'm describing it. This is not right or wrong. It's just one way to see it. And if this doesn't work for you, then you can throw it out at the end of the day, sit down and create your own way of describing. And no one's right or wrong here. But see if this chimes, if this works for you. Emotion is the disturbance, it's the disturbance of the energy of my consciousness, which is the same as self, the energy of my consciousness, which is the disturbance of the energy of me, myself, when the object of attachment, when the object of attachment is one of four things: damaged, threatened, moved, or lost. So, emotion is the disturbance in the energy of my consciousness when the object of attachment is damaged, threatened, moved, or lost. Disturbance, energy, consciousness, object, attachment. Not so fast. Let me give you some examples first. Are there any perfectionists in the room? Any perfectionists? You understand perfectionists? Yeah, the perfectionists, they walk into the room, and they go, who moved that? That shouldn't be there. That should be like that. And they get just a little emotional about who moved that. And that emotion is called, what do you call that emotion? Just a little disturbance in their consciousness. Who moved that? That should be like that. And it passes. It's like, I'm okay now. I'm alright now. It's okay. And so it's gone. So what do you call that emotion? Irritation. Does irritation translate? Remove that. That should be like that. I'm irritated. So there's a little disturbance. There's a disturbance in the energy of my consciousness called irritation. Because someone moved the object of attachment. So, do you see it? You scratch the car, you damage the object of attachment, so there's a disturbance in the energy of my consciousness, and it's called anger. Emotion of anger. Have you ever lost your car keys? Have you ever lost your car keys? Yeah? So you've lost the object of attachment, the car keys, so there's a disturbance in the energy of your consciousness, and that disturbance is called notice. Where are they? Where are they? Where are the keys? Where are the car keys? It's a disturbance, and it's called anxiety. Anxiety, you understand? And the anxiety builds, and it becomes tension. I become really tense, and there's a big disturbance. And then 10 minutes later, you find the car keys, and you come back to the center. Can you see it? Now, the big challenge for us here is we don't really have a language. We don't practice the language of identifying the emotions that we create. You know, we don't have this awareness. Well, right now, I am in a state of anxiety. This is not anxiety. This is worry, actually. I'm worrying. No, actually, no, it's not worrying. I'm really scared. I'm terrorized. And so we don't really play with the language. So we find it difficult to identify and name the emotions that we feel, because you do feel your emotions. So let's do the dictionary. One dictionary definition of emotion is much simpler. Agitation of mind. Emotion is agitation. There's an agitation, and it's happening in the mind. Yeah, and agitation, disturbance, same thing. I've just tried to describe the mechanism, to kind of break it down, so that we can see what's happening. Now, the question was, and it usually comes at this point, does this mean all emotion is negative? Yeah, and let me go back to what I said yesterday. I'm not talking about negative or positive. We're so deeply conditioned to think negative and positive and good and bad, right and wrong. But emotion is not negative and it's not positive. It's a signal that there's a disturbance because there's an attachment. All emotion comes from attachment, which means it's a product of the ego. All emotion. But then you say, come on, Mike, hold on a second. Isn't love an emotion? Isn't love an emotion? Yes? Love is an emotion? Yes. Most people say yes, because that's what we've been taught. Isn't happiness an emotion? What's happened in just about every society in the world is we've lost the true meaning of love and happiness. We use these words so often, we lose the true meaning. We do this with so many words. When we use the word love, if you stand back for a moment and contemplate, study how you use the word love, you will notice that you mean something else. But you're not aware that you mean something else, because you use the word so loosely, so easily. Yeah, we usually use the word love when we really mean desire. He says to her, you see it in the movie, darling, I love you. What does he really mean? I want you. Yeah, and then 2 minutes later, she looks back in his eyes and she goes, "Darling, I love you too." What does she really mean? "I've got you." Just wait for the translation to come through. And then we find out who has a sense of humor. Now, when you talk about love, we know the truth about love. True love doesn't want anything, and true love would never try to possess anything. True? You know this about love, I think, deep down. So when we use the word love, what we usually mean is desire, or it's some kind of attachment. I love my football team. That's not love. It's I'm attached to my football team. I love my new clothes. It's not love. I'm attached to my new clothes. Because if someone takes those clothes away, I'll cry. And so, or dependency. When we say, "I love my cocaine." Just go easy. We're coming to that. Don't go too fast. We'll get there. Okay? Just relax. Fantastic. You okay? You're fast. Yeah. You're quick. You're fast. So, okay. So, when we use the word love, we often mean depend. I love those chocolates. I love that coffee. Or I, whatever. And very often, it's just dependency. Or it's some kind of identification. I love my country. I love my flag. I love my nation. It's not love. It's identifying with a nationality. And that's an illusion. Nationality is an illusion. I'm just identifying with an idea. So when we use the word happiness, we usually mean something else. But we're not aware that we mean something else. When we use the word happiness, we usually mean something like acquisition. Oh, the new carpet's just arrived. I'm so happy. Oh, look at the lovely carpet. I'm so happy. And that's not happiness. It's the acquisition of something. Or it's some kind of consumption. I've just had my favorite ice cream. I've just had my favorite chocolate. I'm so happy. That's not happiness. It's consuming something. Or it's some kind of excitement. I've just been to the cinema. I've just been to the circus. It was great. Oh, I was so happy. And it wasn't happiness. It was a stimulated excitement. And that's not happiness. It's stimulation. Or it's some kind of, this is the most common misuse, it's some kind of relief. Oh, I tell you what, the toothache has gone. I'm so happy the toothache has gone. And that's not happiness, it's relief from pain. Which really means it's relief from unhappiness. And relief is not true happiness. Now, how do I know none of these are real happiness? How do I know? Because all of these are different forms of dependency. This is why the world out there is so confused about happiness. This is why everyone's seeking happiness. They're all writing books about happiness. They're all running seminars about happiness. But what they haven't got really is that they're still making their happiness dependent on something. And all of these are different forms of dependency. And you know the truth about love. True love, you know this, is unconditional, which means it's not dependent on anything. I mean, that's the destination. It's not an easy destination. So, that leaves us with the question, what is love? What is happiness? What is love? What is happiness? And a simple definition of love, is to give of yourself, and that can take many forms, create many forms, sharing, helping, cooperating, giving, is to give of yourself without wanting anything in return. Yeah, we get that. In other words, to give of my energy, whatever form I give my energy, I'm here to cooperate, to guide, to teach, to encourage, to empower. I'm giving of my energy, but I want nothing in return. Wow. Sounds easy. Because as soon as I want something in return, it's not love, it's business. And that's what we do in our relationships now. We do business, don't we? But you never said thank you. You never appreciate what I do. Just little thoughts like that. Yeah. And suddenly the energy is not the vibration of love, because love is just a vibration. It's compromised. And so happiness is to be aware of my true wealth within and want nothing from anyone else. You know, why do most people pursue happiness? They pursue happiness outside in money and objects and status. But when I'm aware that my real wealth resides within, I'm not dependent on anyone else anymore. So I have no agenda in my relationship with you. The best way to understand it, and you know this because you've all studied this very deeply, is that the core of your being, the core of the soul, the self, the I that says I am, there is the three qualities. Sometimes we call them qualities. Love, peace, and joy. But actually they're not separate things. They're just pure vibrations. Sometimes I choose to vibrate at a very peaceful level. Sometimes I choose to vibrate very lovingly as I give my energy. Love is just a vibration. It's a word to describe a vibration. Sometimes there's just a natural joy emanating. So my consciousness is vibrating at that level. So these are what we call states of being. These are states that you can consciously create. We are here to relearn how to create our state, how to be in these states. And when you taste, like an ice cream, a child tastes ice cream, when you taste these states, you realize, actually, I don't need anything outside. Because nothing out there can give me the taste of my own true state. That's why I meditate. That's why we study. Because we're learning to, metaphorically speaking, to create and taste. And then, your self-worth and self-esteem, it doesn't come from outside, it comes from within. When you know and taste your own state, your self-esteem and self-worth become rock solid. Nothing can shake them. Nothing. Because this is your wealth. We know that. But then what are we taught to base our worth and self-esteem on? We're taught to base it on material things. Our reputation in the eyes of others. Did I do okay? Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm okay. Just tell me again. Was that? Oh, I'm okay. Yeah. And so now I feel okay. Yeah. Who showed us how to do this? A very good example. They took away his position, possessions, his privileges, his pay. They stripped him of everything and they locked him up for 27 years. Mandela. And he walked out of that experience the most peaceful, loving, joyful, the wisest, most forgiving character on the planet. And we all went, wow, how did he do that? Never once did he want revenge. Never once. Amazing. Reason? He rediscovered his state, his true underlying state of being. He didn't just rediscover it, he took him 27 years, worked out how to create these states of being within himself and hold them solidly no matter what was going on around him. So when we're able to do that, self-esteem, self-worth, rock solid, nothing can shake it, that then comes through my attitudes. my attitudes. Now I have no agenda. I have no agenda in our relationship. I don't want anything from you because you don't make me happy. I've already worked out how to make me happy. I don't need it from you. I don't need love from you. I am love. I am a source of that vibration. That's easy, isn't it? What's the whole world doing out there? Searching for love. Tell me you love me. Am I okay? Oh, I saw a great movie last night. He fell in love with her. He found true love and she found true love. And I'm looking now too. I'm going to do some dating on the computer now. I'm going to see if I can find my soul mate. And then I'll find love. And then I'll be okay for the rest of my life. You understand? And so we're lost in the illusion that love comes from an external source. And so my attitudes towards everyone changes. I don't want anything. I'm able to give of myself. I don't compete. I'm able to cooperate genuinely from the heart of me. And that then empowers and sustains whatever talents and skills I choose to create. It's all about creation. It's all about creativity. Does that make sense? Do you see it? One thing gets in the way. One thing interferes with everything. The sanskar, the habit of becoming attached and creating the ego. It's what gets in the way of that whole process. And that's what gets in the way of us being able to do what primarily we are designed to do in the creative process. And that is to feel. So let's do feeling. So let's do feeling. I thought I'd just let that go. I wasn't going to fight with it. So feeling is very simple definition: perception by touch. Perception by touch. Yeah, it's a dictionary, actually. One dictionary I read, and this was the definition. And I like this. It's very simple. It's very simple. Don't go away. That's fine. Now, every human being, every one of us can feel, can perceive, can touch on three levels. And you know this from your own experience. You know this. You do this every day. It's just you're not aware you're doing it. So the first level is the physical. And the second level is like mental and intellectual level. I'll come back to that in a moment. And the deepest level at which you feel is the spiritual. So each one of us can feel, perceive, touch at those three levels. 1 second. It's good, we're there. So, physical level of feeling, perceiving, touching. You go to the department store, you look at the dress or the suit and you touch it. You feel it. You perceive the quality of the material. So you're using what's called your physical senses to feel, to touch, to perceive the quality. Physical feelings. But you also feel at a mental, intellectual level. So far your minds have been open, thank you. You've been receiving ideas from me and you've been perceiving them, touching them. And sometimes your head has gone like this. It's nodded a little bit. And a little voice inside it says, yeah, I see that. I perceive that. That feels logical. I see. I perceive the logic in what Mike is saying. But sometimes you don't perceive. You don't feel the logic. But still your head goes like this. A little voice says, yeah, that feels right. That feels right. I don't know why. There's no reason. It just feels right. And your head goes like this. And in the first instance, you're using your rational ability. This is your rational ability to perceive, to touch, to feel something. But here you're using your, when you say that feels right, you're using your intuitive, rational intelligence, intuitive intelligence. You're using your intuition. Yeah, I don't know why, but I get that. That feels right to me. And so this is feeling at a kind of mental, intellectual level. Whereas the deepest feeling is spiritual. Do you all have someone in your life, and they come home in the evening, they're in the building, you don't have to see them, but you know exactly the mood they're in? You all ever had that experience? It's like you can, sometimes they can be in another building, and you pick up their, what do we say, we pick up the vibrations of that person. Animals are much better at this, funnily enough. Why? Animals are incredibly sensitive to vibration. Why? Because they're not thinking about themselves so much. So they're much more open to vibration. And we pick up each other's radiant vibration. Consciousness is radiating and we're picking it up. And this is the spiritual feeling. It's the spirit feeling spirit, soul feeling the soul. It's easy. But the deepest feeling is not to feel someone else's vibration. The deepest feeling at a spiritual level is, 1 second, I make the journey of no distance, and here I am. And I feel very peaceful. I feel peace. So what am I feeling? I'm feeling peace. At peace. Here it is. And I feel it. I'm feeling very peaceful. Could it be that easy? Yeah, it is. It's that easy. But why don't we do that? What stops us? Well, one reason, basically, is that when you were a child, when you were knee-high to a grasshopper, as they say, you learned that feeling is a noun. But actually, feeling is a verb. You learn that feeling is something that happens to you. It's an event. But actually, feeling is something that you do. It's something that you do. Do you do your own thinking? Do you think for yourself? People say, yes, of course I think for myself. I do my own thinking. Do you feel for yourself? Do you do your own feelings? And people go, what do you mean, feeling? Do I feel for myself? That's a strange question. And the reason it's a strange question is that for most of our lives, we've believed that feelings happen to us. And that's where feelings and emotions get mixed up. Now, where does this happen? When your mother and father take you to your first circus or football match or whatever, and they sit and they go, isn't this exciting? I'm so happy and excited and excited and happy. Aren't you excited? It's exciting. Aren't you happy and excited? And we look up and we go, oh, this is exciting. I'm so happy and excited. I'm happy and excited too. And in that moment, we learn two fatal lessons. We learn that excitement is happiness. No, it's not. Excitement is what happens to the water in the kettle when it boils. The molecules are agitated. The molecules are excited. They're agitated. Now, agitation for human consciousness is not happiness. Happiness is not agitation. Happiness is contentment and a natural flow of joy into the world. That's our happiness, not excitement. In fact, excitement is the result of external stimulation, so therefore it's an emotion. And that's where we get emotions mixed up with feelings. The second fatal lesson, that we learn in this moment with our parents is that our feelings therefore have to come from outside ourselves. And so what do I spend the rest of my life doing? Searching for stimulation. And that's what the whole world is doing now. Searching for stimulation. And what is going to be stimulated? Something in the mind. And in the process, I'm going to become attached. And as I move into, there it is, there's the movie, the character comes in, and the character loses, and I lose it, because I'm in the character, in my mind, and that's stimulating me and shaping my energy into not happiness, but sadness. It's terrible, isn't it? And there's the emotion. Do you see it? Now, let's bring the two together. Bring the two together, emotions and feelings. You scratch the car, I get angry. I get very emotional. And there's a moment when I tell you how angry I am, when I actually say, I feel angry. Which is me saying, I feel there's the emotion of anger here in me. Yeah, so I am feeling the emotion of anger. So there's me. In that moment, I'm saying there's me and there's the anger. In that moment, I'm coming away and saying there's me and there's the anger. And if I keep coming away and saying I'm feeling the anger, I'm touching it, I'm perceiving there's anger in here, if I keep coming away from the anger, guess what happens to the anger? It dies. All emotion dies under observation. All emotion dies under observation. Why? Because you separate yourself from the disturbance and you come back to the center where you always find your peace, and then you're watching. You're watching the emotion die. And guess what the best practice is for that? Meditation. Detached observation. That's what meditation is. Detached observation. I feel peace instead of feeling the anger. I feel my peace, my power, and now the anger loses its power. But if I go back into the image of the car being damaged, I recreate the disturbance. Oh, I'm angry again. You shouldn't touch my car. And that's what people do when they tell the story of how their car was damaged yesterday to their friend over coffee today. You can listen. Any coffee shop. People are going, did you tell what happened to me yesterday? It happened yesterday, but they're upset. They're emotional today because they replay the story in their mind. The movie in their mind. Oh, he touched my car. I'm still angry today with it. I'm still upset. I still feel angry. And they're not aware that really they're saying, I'm still creating and feeling this emotion of anger. They can't do that because they believe the other person is creating the emotion they're feeling. Do you get it? So let's do the two together. You will also know from your own experience, you cannot choose your feelings when you are emotional. That's why you have to untangle these two things. You have to. It's compulsory on the spiritual journey. If you avoid doing this, that there's a term in spirituality called spiritual bypassing. Yeah, some people try to bypass what they're feeling and go straight to, I'm a perfect deity soul. I'm perfect BK. I'm the ideal BK. I'm just perfect. I'm being spiritual now. And then 2 seconds later, someone just presses their buttons. Oh, and they explode with emotion. And they don't realize they're trying to bypass their own awareness and understanding of how they create their own disturbance, their own emotion. Yeah. So notice, when you're emotional, you cannot choose, create consciously your feelings. I'll give you an example. Someone scratched the car in the car park. I'm very angry. I come into the office. I have to run the meeting. David here has made a mistake. Mary has lost her father, she told me this morning. And Fred is really confused. And I'm the leader. I've got to run the meeting. Now, because I'm angry, there's a disturbance. My car was scratched. I cannot feel forgiveness. I can't give the feeling of forgiveness to David for his mistake, because that's what he needs to move on. He needs to feel my forgiveness. I cannot feel empathy and compassion for Mary, because that's what she needs to free herself from her sadness. She needs that little bit of feeling energy from me. I can't, because I'm busy with my anger. And I can't sit peacefully with Fred and be co-creative, because I'm busy with my anger. So you know from your own experience, you cannot choose your feelings when you are emotional. Does that make sense? Do you all have that experience? Because as long as the emotion is there, it shapes you. You are the emotion. Until you suddenly go, wait a minute, what am I I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling tense, I'm feeling anxiety, I'm feeling sad. The moment you say, I'm feeling this emotion, you're beginning to come away from it. That's why if you ever feel sad, feel down, and this is the most common emotion, if you ever start feeling sad, just say, I feel sad. And suddenly you're coming out of the sadness. You're coming away from it. And as soon as you come away, it loses its power over you. And that's the practice. That's the practice. It's not wrong to say anything. It's not wrong to say you're angry. There's no right and wrong. Throw out these concepts. No right, wrong, good, bad. Throw them away. As soon as you get into that, that's right, therefore I'm good. That's wrong, therefore I am bad. And you're into a whole story. Throw them out. There are just mistakes. Now, when you are aligned to the true you, you're in your truest vibration, you're at peace, and you're totally open, therefore you're very loving. But the moment you get attached, the moment you're drawn to grasp something, then you're out of alignment, and emotion, a disturbance of emotion, is inevitable. Because when someone touches what you're attached to, you take it personally, and you go, oh, stop it. And so that's a signal, I need to correct something within me. I need to let go of something to come back. And that's our spiritual journey. Come back to the center, back to the center, back to the center. And this is not wrong to be over here and attached. It's just that I got pulled. I'm just making a mistake. I'm getting attached and identified with something. So I'll get the signal, either fear or anger. That's the signal. Wait a minute, I need to let go and correct. Let go and correct. Let go and correct. Do you see the difference? And that's our journey. Yes. Yes. Yes, I'm saying that when you are in your, very good, you're in your true state of being, you are not emotional at all. There is no disturbance in your consciousness. So peace, love, and joy are not emotions. In other words, there's no disturbance. That's really hard for us, I understand, because we all grow up believing that emotions are healthy. We sit in little groups and someone cries and they share from their heart. And we say, thank you for sharing from your heart. But they didn't share from their heart, they shared from their ego. But we called it the heart, because they cried or they got really angry with someone. We said, oh, we really appreciate you sharing from your heart. But it wasn't their heart, it was their ego. But if you get those two mixed up, it's fatal. And that's why one of the reasons why we think emotion is quite healthy. We go to the movies, and the whole movie is about people becoming emotional about other people. And we think it's healthy. And then we get sucked in, and we go, oh my God, oh my God, we're up and down and up and down. Every Saturday afternoon, hundreds of thousands of fully grown, mature males. Where do they go? To the football. And when the other team scores, they cry. When their team scores, they go, whoa, fantastic. And they're up and down and up and down and up and down. And they think it's okay because everybody's doing it. And what happens is we get addicted to the emotion. Yeah, we get addicted to the stimulation and the, whoa, the high of excitement. And we even get addicted to the low of the, oh, I'm terrible. And we go, can I cry on your shoulder? Oh, you're crying too. I'm feeling comforted because we're both crying. And we think it's okay. And so the emotions are addictive, but they're also exhausting. And that's the sign that they're not healthy. Because like a physical drug is addictive, true, but it's also draining. It exhausts you. If you keep taking a drug to get a high, then you have to take more and more and more drug to get higher and higher. And then the highs get lower and the lows get deeper. And you have to take more drug. And that's exactly what's happening to the world. Is people are having to have more stimulation, excitement to get the high. Do you remember a movie 20 years ago? And now compare the movies today. Today they try and shock you even more. They try and stimulate you even more. They want to make you shocked even more, more emotional than ever, because they have to get you higher. Does that make sense? So the emotion is addictive and exhausting. So the correct state, fantastic, is when you don't need any stimulation. I'm totally free. I'm at peace. I know I'm a source of the power of love. I don't have to get it from outside. It comes from within me. And as you give it, you feel it. It feels natural. Feels natural. And we all know those moments. So we're not sharing our ego because our hearts are broken. The heart is broken, but it's not the heart that's broken. It's consciousness, it's the ego. Look, when you scratch my car or when my mother dies, it doesn't really matter. We feel broken. We're crying. Sadness is a sign of a broken heart. Tears. Oh my God, my mother's gone. Oh my God, my new car is gone. I'm crying. So why? Because I'm attached to the car, identified with the car. Because I'm attached to my mother, I'm identified with my mother. Yes, it's the ego that's broken, in a sense. Not the heart. The heart of the soul, the heart, soul is the same thing. It's not this heart. It's the heart is what I am. The soul is what I am. It's the same thing. It's not different. But when I identify with something I'm not and that's broken, it feels like it's me that's broken. Do you see it? But it's not real because it is not me. Get it? Yes. Some are born with a high level of self-esteem, some just the opposite. Sanskars of how you see yourself. So I don't know about being born, but you have, yes, let's do the, some are born with very solid self-esteem, which means that they probably didn't have a lot of ego in their last birth. Maybe they're a new soul. They haven't yet developed a very strong ego, in other words, attachment to something in the world. So they're free spirits. They're freer within themselves. So they come across as more confident. They kind of know themselves. They seem to know themselves better than we do. And so it's... Do you understand? Brahmin souls are old souls, yeah? ultimately, self-esteem is unnecessary. It's like esteem means to value, to estimate the value of something. So we estimate the value of something outside. But when it comes to spirit, you don't estimate your value, you know your value. Yeah. Now, how do you know your value? How do you know how valuable you are? You don't think this, you just know it. And that's by creating from your highest state of consciousness, which is what we call love. It's a word we give to the conscious being giving of itself without wanting anything in return. Now, when you give of yourself without wanting anything in return, you feel it first. And what you feel in that moment, you know. What you feel, you know. And you know you are a source of the highest energy. And it feels so natural. Feels so natural. Now, in that moment, you know your value. You're not thinking, now I know my value. It's not a knowing that you think about. It's just something you know. It's like a knowingness. That's why, in a sense, 20 or 30 years ago, you never saw self-esteem mentioned. Self-worth, even self-respect, even self-love. You never saw them mentioned. They're the kind of product of, for me personally, of a kind of new agey approach to spirituality. Let me ask you this. Do you need to love yourself? Yes. You see, now there's a very common belief. Where did I pick up this belief? I need to learn to love myself. It comes from, you can't love others until you love yourself. Now, where did this come from? Probably two sources. The oldest source, somewhere in the scripture. I think the Bible. And then in the newest source, New Age philosophy. And you went on a seminar to learn how to love yourself. Has anyone been in that seminar? Learn how to love yourself. And then you have to go back again next year. Why? Because it's impossible to love yourself. It's impossible. I love myself. I love myself. Now, which one's me? Which one's me? The I or the self? Or is it me? Are there two or three? No, there's only one. There's just one me. So it's impossible to separate a part of yourself and say, I love me. No, I'm one. Not separate, not apart. When you give a gift with love, what are you saying? You say, this is from me to you with love. Which is really a way of saying, this is from me to you with the energy of me. Isn't that right? This is coming with the energy of me, which we call love. So what is love? Love is what I am. Now when you realize that, when you get that, when you, yeah, love is what I am, why would I ever want to love myself? It's what I am. Learning to love myself, or saying I need to love myself, is just another way of saying I need to find love somewhere. Which is another way of saying I've not yet realized love is what I am. Does that make sense? What stops you from realizing that love is what you are? One habit, one sanskar, and it's called attachment. Yeah. Fear, same energy of consciousness, fear is love, the vibration of love, distorted by attachment. Fear is love distorted by attachment. The energy of consciousness is radiating as the vibration of love. As soon as I put an attachment in the way, where do I do that? In my mind. It distorts the energy into what I feel is fear. I'm scared. See? So, as you are loving, you feel very naturally that energy going, bring up attachment, and you create a disturbance called emotion. And that's what fear is. It's the primary disturbance of our consciousness. Yes. Yeah. We have a small break. Do you want to have a small break? We have a small break, and after the break, we'll do a little workshop. And emotion always begins with a moment of sadness. It always begins with sadness. And sadness always follows a sense of loss. Sadness and loss go together. You, as soon as you believe you've lost something, you create sadness. But the sadness will not stay. Like all emotion, it turns as it passes, and the sadness usually turns into anger. As you look for someone to blame for your loss. But the anger won't stay, it might just be momentary, but it will turn into fear. The fear that it might happen again. And if you fear you're going to lose something, guess what? It will happen. Sadness is always in the past, and fear is always in the future. Sadness is the belief I've lost something. Fear is the belief I'm going to lose something. Yeah? And then anger is when you project onto someone else responsibility for your loss. Get it? And this is called the cycle of suffering. And just about every human being in the world will live their entire life in this cycle, and they will not be aware of it. And the reason they won't be aware is their attachment to one belief. And the belief is, this is human nature. This is natural. It's natural to cry, to get upset, and to be fearful. It's natural. And that one belief will stop most people from going, wait a minute, why am I feeling like this all the time? Why am I feeling these emotions all the time? And if you don't stop and ask, then you just go round in the cycle. Yeah. Now, all emotions fit into one of these three families. All emotions. Sadness is melancholy, it's hopelessness, it's depression, many moments of sadness gathered in the subconscious leads to depression. Anger is irritation, frustration, resentment, jealousy, envy, rage, family of anger. And the family of fear, anxiety, tension, worry, panic, terror, all fit into one of these three families. And guilt, a very popular emotion, as you know, to feel the emotion of guilt, is a combination of all three. It's a combination of all three. Now, what causes this cycle? The belief that you have lost something. So if you want to break the cycle, I have to realize the truth. Belief is not the truth. The truth about belief is in the word belief. L-I-E. All beliefs are lies. The being B, leaf, is lying to itself. So it's the belief I've lost something. And you can only believe you've lost something if you believe you possess. And what's another word for believing you possess? What's another word? Attachment. Yeah, it's attachment. That's what attachment is. The belief that this is mine. And so what's the truth? You know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and the truth is nothing and no one is ever mine. I have nothing. I have no one. And as soon as I realize that, that's really challenging to deeply realize nothing is mine. That's what Baba keeps telling us, reminding us, nothing is yours. The moment you realize that truth, you have nothing to lose, so you'll never be sad, you'll never have a reason to get angry, and you'll never be scared. And the cycle is broken. The suffering is broken. And only then can you come back to the center. And the center, otherwise known as the heart, and then the vibration of your energy is not a sad vibration, it's not an angry vibration, it's not a fearful vibration. You are free, and when you are free of all your attachments, you vibrate as love. You vibrate as peace. You vibrate as a natural joy. What the French call joie de vie. The joy of life. The joy of being life itself. Fantastic. Right. I need those two volunteers again, if it's possible. If it's possible to hand out. Could you? Great, yeah. Just give a little, if you give a little stack to each of the left, and if you could give a little stack to each on the right, and then just pass one, take one and pass along. No, excuse me, brother, if you go up and just put one at the end, and then you just pass it along. That's good, that's great. Just pass it along and pass behind, pass it along and pass behind. So if we have any surplus at the back, any surplus, if someone could bring it back down to the front, just brother, there's a few here, could you? Just hand up if you haven't got one. That's great, thank you. So for those who need translation, let's just do this a little slowly to begin with. Excuse me to those who already speak English. We just take a moment to translate because we didn't do separate sheets for other languages. So the headline is correcting the ego and dissolving emotion. Remember, there's no right and wrong, no good and bad here. It's just about correcting mistakes. And the two columns at the top, reaction is the middle column and response is the right-hand column. So we're going to make the transition from reacting emotionally to responding creatively. Down the left-hand side, for translation, number one is the event. Is event down the left? Don't write anything in yet, except if you're translating. If you're understanding my English, if you could just give me a moment, just for the benefit of those who have to translate. Down the left-hand side is one is event. Number two is perception or interpretation. Perception, interpretation. Number three is thoughts, pensamientos or something like that in Spanish, pensamientos. Yeah. Emotion, number four. Number five is ego, attachment, ego. Number six, action. Number seven, outcome or result. It's just a good little exercise, and you can take this away after today and you can use it to practice and process your experience. I'm going to ask you to think of a situation where you became upset with someone else. Yesterday, last week, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it doesn't really matter. Small situation or a big situation. But you reacted emotionally. You became upset with someone or something. And that's the event. I'll give you an example. I have to go back almost 30 years myself. Joking. That was a joke. So I will go back. I'll go back a long time. I'll go back to a moment when my father came home with tickets for a football match and said to my mother, he's taking my brother to Italy to see his favorite football team. My mother went crazy. she got very angry with my father, and she said, "You selfish, he's sitting his exams next week, how could you do this and not consult me?" It's my mother angry at father. So this was the event, number one. My perception, number two, perception was disaster. This is a terrible disaster. And number three, my thoughts towards my father, "You selfish person. Look what you've done to my mother. You've made my mother upset." And so my emotion was, I was angry towards my father. I got very angry for making my mother upset. What was my ego? Number five, my ego. What was the image I was attached to? The image I'm attached to is happy family, harmony between my mother and family. And my father's just shattered that image. So I'm angry at my father. So I've lost the image of happy family. And so, what do I do? Number six, what's the action? I criticize my father in everything he does for about 3 weeks. I criticize everything. Sometimes I don't talk to him. I just withdraw. And other times, I don't laugh at his jokes, as you do when you're young. And so, that's my behavior towards my father. That's the action. And the outcome, the result, is the collapse of my relationship with my father. We hardly talk to each other. And inside, I feel really resentment. I feel a kind of hate. I hate my father because I'm angry. And so when you're angry, when you hate, who suffers first and most? I do. I do. I'm making myself suffer. And so that's the result of the process. So could I ask you to do the same? Could you do the same with yours? Just go down the middle column. Don't go into the right-hand column. Just down the middle column. What was the event from memory? And then what was your perception? How did you interpret this event? That's usually one or two words. Disaster or terrible or end of the world. This is the end of the world. And then what was your thoughts towards the person or the situation? You selfish, I hate you, you should not have done that. What were you thinking towards the person? And then what was the emotion that you felt? You created the emotion and you felt it towards that person. And then what was the ego, the attachment behind the emotion? What was the image you were attached to that got disturbed? And then what did you do? What was your behavior? Did you slam the door? Did you kick the dog? Did you go and buy some drugs? What did you do immediately? And then what was the result in your relationship with the people, or what was the outcome, the immediate outcome for you? Just do a little breakdown, yeah, as you replay the scene in your own mind. This is just for you, just for you. Good. Everyone more or less there? Little breakdown? You don't have to write a lot. Yeah? You okay? You got one? You never got upset? Never been upset? Yeah? So there's a little formula for success in life, and it goes like this. E plus R equals O. This is the formula for... E stands for the event, R stands for the response, and O stands for the outcome or the result. Yeah, event plus response equals the outcome. I'm not sure how that works in other languages, but it's usually a little different. So are there any results, any outcomes you would like to change in your life? Most people say, yes please. That's why I came. I'm here to find out how to create different results. What do most people try to change in the formula to get to a different result? Most people try to change the event. Most people try to change the event. And the event, of course, is always It's always in the past. And it usually always involves other people. And the two things in life you can never ever change is the past and other people. And when you try to change what you cannot change, what's the emotion that you create and feel? The emotion is anger. Frustration is an early form of anger, the family of anger. So you're getting frustrated, therefore angry. And that's why whenever you get angry, it means you are clinically insane. Three reasons. Number one, you are out of control. The emotion takes over. Number two, whenever you become angry, you are irrational. You cannot think rationally. But the real reason, number three, is whenever you get angry, it's a sign, a signal, you're trying to do the impossible. You're trying to do the impossible. You're trying to change what can never be changed. The past and other people. And this is how parents teach their children to be angry. It's how we learn to become angry. Because when we don't do what mommy and daddy wants us to do, when we do something else, then they get angry at what we have done. And then we learn that it's okay to be angry. And we think anger is natural. And then we spend the rest of our life getting angry or irritated or frustrated or resentful. So, we know we can't change the event, which is the past or other people. We know that now. We're enlightened now. And so I have to change my response the next time. Not that time, but the next time. I have to change how I respond. And that may mean changing my thoughts about the person, or my feelings, or the emotion that I feel. But of course, behind the thought is perception. Behind the thought is your perception. Behind your perception is what's called your belief. Your belief. Yeah, and so this is the deepest level of attachment, is to my beliefs. Let's say Mike says something a little silly, and you go for coffee with your friend afterwards, and you say to your friend, Mike George, he's a little stupid, you know. He's a bit stupid. It's over coffee. It's a throwaway line. And in that moment, you create a belief about Mike George. You create a belief. All the time, we are creating and sustaining our beliefs. And in that moment, you give Mike George a label, stupid. Yeah, he's a bit silly. He's a bit stupid. And there it is. You've created that belief, and now you are a little attached to that belief. So the next day, you're standing with your friend in the corridor, and there's Mike George over there, and you say to your friend, see that Mike George? See how stupidly he's standing? Isn't that a stupid way to stand? Yeah, I can hear what he's saying. It's that stupid stuff again. And so you will perceive everything I do according to your belief. Why will you do that? Because you want to be right. Because when you're right, you're happy. Aren't you happy when you're right? Don't you smile? I was right. And so you think I'm stupid, and you feel I'm a bit stupid. And you walk up to me with something called attitude. And this is what attitude is made up of. Attitude is your thoughts and feelings about me. And you have an attitude towards me, an energy. And I feel that energy. I'll feel your attitude. I'll sense your attitude. And guess what I will be just for you? I will be stupid. Because I know that will make you happy, because I still believe that I cannot be happy until you are happy. So I'll go out of my way to make you happy so I can be happy. Get it? And this is how our relationships become a little bit dysfunctional, to say the least. Have you ever done anything stupid? No. Does that make you a stupid person? No. So why do we do it with others? Why is it that I create the belief, and then the next time I meet the person, what do I take to the relationship? I bring the... When you go to the airport, you take your baggage. So I bring the baggage of yesterday to the relationship today. And what's the baggage of yesterday? It's the belief that I created and I'm now attached to in my consciousness. Do you see? And it happens just like that. Do you ever go away from someone with the feeling and the thought, we're not connecting, we're missing each other, we're not actually connecting? Do you ever get that feeling? And the reason is, you're not having a relationship with the person, you're having a relationship with your belief about the person that you created yesterday. You see? And it's just that I'm not aware. And this is the deepest attachment to our own beliefs that we create in our consciousness. So, I want to do this situation again, but this time I don't want to react out of emotion. I want to consciously respond. And to do that, the first thing I have to detach from is what? The belief that my family should be happy and harmonious. So I've recognized now I'm attached to happy family. Now I stand back and I'm detached. My father does what he wants, my mother does what... And there is their business, their interaction is their business, not my business, it's their business. And my happiness is not dependent on them. And so now I can't change the event, father, ticket, football match, mother, very angry, but I can change my perception. And so, oh, Dad, what a great gift to give to my brother. He's going to see his favorite football team. Fantastic. And so now my thoughts towards my father, well done, Dad, great idea, brilliantly executed. And so now I'm not emotional about anything, but I am feeling something. I'm not angry, that's emotion, but I'm feeling for what? For my father. What am I feeling towards my father? Appreciation, which has its roots in love. And for my mother, I'm feeling she's in a lot of emotional pain, so I'm feeling compassion, empathy and compassion, which has its roots in love. And for my brother, I'm really quite happy. I'm really happy he's going to see his favorite football team. And so now, because I'm not angry, I can choose one feeling here, and I can choose to give this energy here, and I can choose. So now I'm consciously creating my responses, which I could not do as long as I was angry at my father. So what's my action? I help my brother pack his bag, go to the airport, say farewell. When he comes back, tell me all about it. Did you have a good time? What do I do with my mum over here? How do I act with my mum? Do I say, oh mum, you're a bit upset. I think you've got a bit of ego. Let me know when you're okay and we'll talk. No? I go to mum and I give her a hug and I sit down and do a lot of listening, ask lots of questions. How are you feeling? Why are you feeling? And as my mother tells me the emotions that she is feeling, she becomes detached and calms down. Have you ever done that for a friend? I think so. Otherwise known as therapy. So I give my mother a little bit of therapy. And so what's the outcome? Great relationship with father, great relationship with brother, great relationship with mother. And actually, I'm beginning to become very aware of my own value. I'm being valuable in these relationships. I know my value. See the difference? And I just changed one thing. I just changed my perception. But to do that, I have to detach. I have to come back from what's going on. So could I ask you to do the same? Could you do the same with your scenario? If you go down the right-hand side, could you do it again so that you don't become upset? There's no emotion, but you are feeling something. You'll see the box with feeling in it. And then the big black box means detached. You're not attached to anything. You're free. You're free to give appropriately to whoever is in your scenario. See if you can do it again, in theory at least. In theory, on paper at least. We begin with the theory. We begin on paper. It's good. Okay. So when you're ready, with the person next to you, just say hello and share your scenario, how you've broken it down and how you've changed it. And if it's difficult, help each other. See if you can help each other or get help from the other. But it's good to talk about it because it becomes clearer as you talk about it. So find someone of your own language and just share it, break it down, and help each other, just for 3 or 4 minutes each. Okay, it's 2, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's good. Did you get there? Did you all get there? In theory, on paper, but it's just good to break it down and you can see all the components. But the secret is you cannot make the transition until you've recognized what it is you are attached to. Because that's what's killing your ability to be creative, to create a perception from which flows your energy naturally, from which flows connection with the other. So that's this idea of got to get rid of the attachment, be free, detach on the inside. It's good. So any questions? Anything not clear? Anything not clear? What I would say is that if any of you have any questions, and I know that this session creates more questions than answers, because it's very deep, very fast, into an area which is, wow, all tangled feelings and emotions. So if you have a question, I'll get to you, then do write it down very clearly on a piece of paper, and then at the end of the course I'll answer all the questions, either one or two from here, but I'll send you all an answer by email if that might help. Yeah. Is there a magic wand available? Yeah, you're it, I'm afraid. It's you. It's good. It's great. Okay, so let's finish. Please don't get the impression that I'm saying that you should never be emotional again. Please don't get the impression that I am saying emotions are bad. Nothing is bad, it's just what is happening. And so the purpose of the course is to understand what and why things are happening. So when you leave here today, you will sit in the meetings, you will go to lunch, you will go about your life, and emotions will be triggered. They will be triggered. Emotions are triggered when someone presses a button. In other words, touches something you're attached to. So these attachments go very deeply into our subconscious. That's outside of our awareness, and the emotion just seems to come up. So as I'm making my effort to detach where I'm consciously attached to, these emotions come from a subconscious place. So what do I do? A little plan, a little methodology, a little step-by-step that you can play with. When the emotion comes up, the first step is awareness. In other words, self-awareness. Really, that is the red thread of our 3 days. There's irritation. I'm becoming aware that I'm feeling the emotion of irritation. Step two is to acknowledge. I'm responsible for the emotion. Acknowledging responsibility. It's not the guy in the car in front that's going very slow that's making me irritated. It's me. I'm responsible for my irritation. Step three, don't resist the emotion. Accept it. That's quite hard, too. That's quite challenging, because we tend to resist. When you resist your emotion, you press it down. You suppress it. And if you keep suppressing your emotions, eventually one day they'll just blah. And you'll dump them all on someone, and it might even be violent. So I accept the emotion. Ah, irritation. Hello. You're back again. I thought you'd gone. And here you are again. Hello. And then step number four is to ascend. And ascend really means to detach. You've already started becoming detached on step three, but now I'm going to come away. And sometimes it's called helicoptering out. You just come away and you observe. You start to observe the emotion. And the moment you do that, the emotion loses its power. It loses its power as you detach from the flaring of your energy. And then step number five is to attune. To tune in. To tune in to the center, which you are experts at doing. You spend days and weeks in Madhuban tuning in to your center. You know when there's a hurricane? Where's the quietest place in a hurricane? Eye of the storm. So, when I'm emotional, it's like there's a hurricane in my head. There's this energy. And so I tune into the center. And if you go to the center, where is the center? The center of the self. You will always find your peace, which is your power. You will always find your power. No one can ever take those away. They're always there. And the methodology, as you know, as you are international professional experts in meditation. That's what meditation is, has been for 2,000 years. Tuning in to the center. So, five little steps which you get a chance to practice every single day in many situations. What happens though is you cannot do this in the situation at first. I have to do it in retrospect. So at the end of the day I take 5 minutes and I check. How did I do today? Oh, I got really upset with David in the meeting. Oh, I got so angry. Well, I was aware I was getting angry, yeah. I acknowledged it. I didn't blame him for my anger. I know why it got worse. I tried to suppress it. I fought it. And it just got bigger. So tomorrow, I'll see Dave tomorrow, and he'll press my button again, I'm sure. So tomorrow, I need to practice step three a bit more tomorrow. So I'm kind of doing it in retrospect until one day I'm able to do it in real time. Which really means when you can do it in real time, you're not attached to anything. You're free. Free inside. So a little plan to play with. It's good. I think we're there. I can sense a very deep attachment in the room to something called lunch. And so let's have a moment of silence. And then you are free. Not that you're not already free, but free for lunch. So, just to take a moment to put all those ideas to one side, put them all up on a mental shelf. You can come back to them any time and play with them. So I just focus my attention, my awareness on myself. And I remind myself of who and what I am. A being of consciousness, pure light, a radiant point of pure energy, clean and clear. The mind is quiet, for there is no need to think about anything. No need to create any idea, any image, any desire, any memory. And in this pure awareness of who I am, I taste, I feel my trueness, my true nature, which is peace. And from this peace comes my power. In this peace, I can hear the pulse of my heart. Not the heart of my body, the heart of my being. The impulse to give, to connect, to love. This is my trueness, my true state of being. And as I do, I feel bubbling to the surface like a clear blue mountain spring. It's my joy. The joy of life itself. This is true freedom. Thank you.